Good morning. My name is Colin, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to the joint investor call for SECURE Energy and Terravita. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then one on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, please press star followed by two. Thank you. Mr. Alan Gransch, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the joint conference call related to the strategic combination of SECURE and Terravita. On the call with me today, we have Rene Amirault, Chairman, President, and Chief Executive Officer of SECURE; John Cooper, President, Chief Executive Officer, and Director of Terravita; Rob Dawson, Executive Vice President, Strategy and Corporate Development of Terravita. In addition to the news release issued this morning and today's call, we have posted a presentation outlining key points of the transaction on both our websites at secure-energy.com and terravita.com. As a reminder, all statements made by either company during this call are subject to the reader advisories included in the news release and in the presentation on the transaction. All dollar amounts discussed today are in Canadian dollars unless otherwise stated. I will now pass the call over to Rennie and John to provide some prepared remarks on the combination before opening the call to Q&A. And with that, Rennie, over to you.
Thank you, Alan, and thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning. We are very pleased to be discussing the strategic combination of SECURE and Terravita. The merger creates a stronger midstream infrastructure and environmental solutions company that will provide the highest level of service and partnerships that our customers can count on. The new company combines highly complementary asset bases and service lines of SECURE and Terravita in Western Canada and North Dakota. By enhancing scale and better positioning us to optimize existing assets and operations, we can better service our customers. We think this will also give us greater optionality in allocating capital through all market environments. By combining these two efficient organizations, we'll be able to generate significant free cash flow, lower our cost of capital, and enhance our ability to deliver strong returns to our shareholders. In addition, the pro forma entity will have a culture that continues to drive ESG leadership. There are a few key highlights of this transaction that I would like to briefly touch upon. Within 12 to 18 months of closing, we expect the transaction will generate significant annualized integration cost savings of $75 million and will be highly accretive to cash flow and discretionary free cash flow per share for all shareholders. The strong free cash flow profile of the pro forma entity will be directed to debt repayment, followed by return of capital to shareholders and or investment in strategic high return growth projects. The combined company has a strong deleveraging plan in place that will reduce the combined net debt of the pro forma entity, and we will continue to target a debt-to-EBITDA ratio of less than 2.5 times within 2 years of closing. Through the combination of SECURE and Terravita, we are confident that we have strengthened our access to equity and debt capital. SECURE and Terravita share a culture of commitment to the communities in which we operate. The combined company's talented employees will drive exceptional customer value focused on delivering top-tier safety, efficiency, and execution. Moving forward, we will continue to focus on delivering ESG leadership and strong stakeholder relations. The combined company will be led by a proven management team that reflects the strengths and capabilities of both organizations. I will be Chief Executive Officer of the pro forma entity. John Cooper will support the transition as Chief Integration Officer. Chad Magus will be CFO, and Alan Gransch will be CEO of Midstream. Additional senior leaders for the combined company will be selected from both organizations and will be named before the close of the transaction. The board of directors will consist of 8 members with equal representation from the existing SECURE and Terravita board of directors, with Grant Billing, current chairman of Terravita, to be appointed as chairman of the combined company. I will also be appointed to the board of the combined company. SECURE looks forward to working with the Terravita team and board of directors. We are excited about the value creation potential for all stakeholders. The combination joins two strong company cultures comprised of highly talented people with shared commitments to ESG, safety, performance, customer value, and profitability. The SECURE Board of Directors has unanimously approved the transaction and has recommended that the holders of secure shares vote in favor of the arrangement. With that, I would like to turn the call over to John.
Thanks, Rennie, and a very good morning, everyone. As Rennie outlined, Secure and Tervita issued a joint press release announcing the strategic combination of our two companies, creating a strong provider of midstream infrastructure and environmental solutions that will continue to set the standard for service quality and excellence. This merger unites two great companies, resulting in the combination of complementary midstream infrastructure asset bases and environmental service lines, benefiting all shareholders, customers, suppliers, and the communities in which we operate. In Secure, we have a partner who is equally committed to an employee-centric culture with a focus on ESG, safety, and customers, with whom we are very eager to join forces to leverage our combined resources and strengths, which will drive a successful integration. We expect there will be significant annualized integration cost savings associated with this combination. The $75 million of annualized cost savings Rennie mentioned earlier consist of corporate overhead, SG&A reductions, field operating cost efficiencies, supply chain management, and facility utilization to allow us to better serve our customers. The combined company has the right assets and right people in place to respond to increasing industry activity with minimal additional investment. Our goal has always been to accelerate value to Tervita and our shareholders. We are confident we have identified and executed on the alternative that is in the best interest of our stakeholders of Tervita and its shareholders. Together with Secure, we have a strong team in place, and we will have truly created one of the preeminent providers of midstream and environmental solutions. This transaction is a culmination of dedicated hard work from the entire Tervita team. I would like to take this opportunity to personally acknowledge all members of the team, including the dedicated members of my management team, as well as our board of directors, and their invaluable contribution in getting us to this stage. The Tervita Board of Directors has unanimously approved the transaction and has recommended that the holders of Tervita shares vote in favor of the arrangement. I will now pass the call over to Alan to walk through some of the transaction details and key financial aspects of the combination. Alan?
Thank you, John. As Rennie mentioned earlier, Secure is excited to begin this new chapter of our company by combining with Tervita. I will quickly address the structure of the deal. Secure and Tervita have entered into an agreement that provides for the combination of two companies. Upon completion of the transaction, existing shareholders of Secure and Tervita will own 52% and 48% of the combined company, respectively. The combined company will retain the Secure name and TSX symbol and will be headquartered in Calgary. Under the terms of the agreement, Tervita shareholders will receive approximately 1.27 common shares of Secure for each common share of Tervita held. The transaction has been unanimously approved by voting directors at both companies' boards and is subject to the approval of Secure and Tervita shareholders, regulatory approvals, and other customary closing conditions, which are expected to take place over the course of the next several months. Solus Alternative Asset Management, Tervita's principal shareholder, along with all of the directors and officers of Tervita and Secure, have entered into hold and separate agreements pursuant to which they have agreed to vote their shares in favor of the transaction. And with that, I will turn the call back over to Rennie for some closing remarks.
Thanks, Alan. As you can tell, both Secure and Tervita are very excited about this combination. As I stated earlier, both myself and the Secure Board are confident that this combination will unlock significant value for shareholders of Secure and Tervita. In summary, we will form a highly complementary midstream infrastructure and environmental asset base that provides for enhanced scale and geographic coverage. We will continue to provide the highest level service, integrity, and trust so that our customers can continue to count on us. Together, we will form a strong and resilient business with the combined company positioned to execute and integrate the entrepreneurial culture of both organizations. The highly talented teams both share commitments to ESG, safety, performance, and customer value. John and I are extremely excited to close the transaction and make it a success for all. With that, we have concluded our formal remarks, and I would now ask the operator to open the call for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin the question and answer session. Should you have a question during this time, please press star followed by one on your touch-tone phone. You'll hear a three-tone prompt acknowledging your request, and your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Should you wish to decline from the polling process, please press star followed by two. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. Your first question comes from Cole Pierre from Stifel. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and congrats on the transaction. I guess my first question would be, obviously, there's significant ownership of third-party facilities here. Can you talk about how you're thinking about Competition Bureau approval and whether there might be a need to sell some assets here?
Hi, Cole. It's John here. Thanks for the question. Well, first of all, we're going to work with the Bureau and go through their process, and there'll be a review there. You know, it's way too premature to talk about any, you know, potential remedies that are associated with the review. But, you know, standing back, we do believe in the merits of this merger and transaction has significant benefits to customers and significant benefits to shareholders.
Okay, got it. That's helpful. Thanks. And I mean, as well now with a larger facility footprint, I mean, you talked about some asset optimizations. Are you able to comment at all on whether you might need to close some overlapping facilities?
No, cool. That's what we're thinking there is that, you know, obviously you can see that industry activity has picked up. And so it's a little premature to start talking about what we may or may not close, but really we'll never compromise customer service. And this is all about what can we do to give better customer service, help our customers. At the end of the day, they got to get more efficient. We got to get more efficient. So the real focus is on how do we make ourselves a lot more efficient, but at the same time, provide even better customer service.
Okay, got it. That's a good color. Thanks. And just one last one for me. Relatively high rate on the Tervita notes, but I mean, obviously the market has improved quite a bit. The entity's quite a bit stronger going forward. So is there maybe an opportunity to refinance those in the near term?
Oh, hi, Cole. It's Rob Dawson here. Those are no-call three of those notes. So there is some opportunities to pay down certain components of those notes, but not in their entirety. $100 to $200 million can be taken out in the near term here if opportunities present themselves.
Okay, got it. That's helpful. Thanks. So I'll turn it back, and congrats again.
Thanks, Cole.
Your next question comes from Andrew Bradford from Raymond James. Andrew, please go ahead.
You know, if I had woken up this morning with my bed in the middle of the street, I wouldn't have been more surprised than to see this this transaction. So, you know, credit to both of you guys for both the teams to bring these two companies together. The $75 million in synergies, that's a pretty big number for the size of the respective entities. And I appreciate there are going to be sensitivities in a discussion around this, especially at this early stage. But could you flesh some of that out for us to the extent you feel comfortable?
Around, Andrew, are you just talking around the cost savings?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, absolutely. And there's a reason we didn't use the usual buzzword synergies because, you know, the connotation there is that, you know, we're going to put our two IT departments together and magically make it all work together. So this truly is about cost savings. You know, this is, you know, really based upon a bunch of things that, you know, we've been working on. 60% are operational related and 40% are corporate overhead. And, you know, some of the things that, you know, John mentioned in his notes, facility utilization, reduced field overhead, obviously, if we've got some duplication in the field offices, even transportation savings. There's a lot of times where both of us were driving past our doors with, you know, leachate water, stuff like that, that's going to show up. Obviously, you know, there'll be all kinds of operating cost efficiencies in terms of how we go about delivering that customer service. And then from a corporate overhead point of view, I mean, the obvious ones, you know, whether it's board, executive, administration, legal, those kind of things, I think those will certainly be on the forefront. So, you know, those will be almost 40%, 60% operational. So that's the things we want to hit upon. You know, those are achievable. We're confident we can get those. And there may be others down the road in terms of synergies, but for right now, we wanted to give you a concrete number.
And Andrew, it's John, just to piggyback on what Rennie said. So as part of the process, both companies met as appropriate and shared their ideas of what the cost savings would be and came out to this aligned number. The other thing to mention is these cost savings are permanent and structural in nature and will survive the fluctuations that we all live through in the energy world. So it just makes the combined business more efficient and cost effective, which will help out with service levels and pricing levels for our customers.
I appreciate those comments. Thank you. The only other question I have at this point is, obviously this is going to be, you know, a midstream powerhouse as a combined entity. However, does this do to sort of the attention or focus or emphasis or you would have on sort of the non-core business lines? Question for both of you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, 18 months ago, different world, different industry. You know, at the end of the day, you know, what the shareholders have pounded into us is it's all about free cash flow. And the good news is that all business units, whether they have reoccurring or non-reoccurring revenue, are extremely strong and getting stronger every day. So for right now, Andrew, our focus is on free cash flow because we want to pay down debt and continue to find ways to increase that free cash flow. So I would say for now, it's all about getting the money in the bank. We're going to minimize incremental investments. We think we've got the right asset base in place right now, so there's not a whole bunch of CapEx that needs to be spent this year, and it's all about paying down the debt.
Okay. Sorry, just one last question. I expect there's going to be integration costs. I didn't necessarily see that mentioned in the press release. Do you have any, can you provide any insights on that?
Yeah, so when you think about those cost savings, obviously there's going to be some one-time costs. So we've estimated right now $30 million for the to implement the cost savings.
Okay. Congratulations to both of you guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew.
Your next question comes from Keith McKee from RBC. Keith, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. The first one I have here, I did notice that the press release called for a break fee in certain circumstances. Obviously not trying to focus too much on that, but just curious maybe what that amount is and is it impacted by, you know, if the transaction were to be stopped by, say, the Competition Bureau?
Well, it's John here. It's $20 million in reciprocal, and the whole arrangement is really reciprocal. I mean, it's 52-48, but it's a merger of equals. So, you know, we don't think we'll be getting to that point of not being able to close the transaction.
Got it. Okay, thanks for that. And just one more question on a little bit more on the capital allocation. So, Rennie, you mentioned debt, shareholder returns, and investment in high-value opportunities. Just curious how you see the shareholder returns portion working. I know you've committed to maintaining the current dividend. You can have a lot more free cash flow. Can you maybe just comment on the proportions of free cash flow towards debt and shareholder returns, and then what mechanism of shareholder returns you'd prefer?
Yeah, no, great question. I mean, obviously, you see, you know, in the press release, you saw our target that we would like to get our debt EBITDA below 2.5. So that's going to be the number one priority. Our ability to return capital to shareholders and or invest in some high quality investments is really, you know, we obviously have to respond to our customers' needs. So there's always going to be a balance there between return of capital to shareholders versus, you know, can we get some new investments that are backed by contracts. So, you know, we'll have to obviously see how things unfold after close and balance that. But I can tell you right now that our number one priority is to pay down debt.
Got it. Thanks very much. That's it for me.
Thanks, Keith.
Your next question comes from Matthew Weeks from IA Capital. Matthew, please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I think my first one was really just answered. I was going to ask about sort of the high return, you know, capital projects that were mentioned being in the backlog and sort of what the nature of these projects would be, what sort of growth you would be targeting, whether it be sort of more on the, you know, environmental side or if it'd be really contracted, kind of more stable cash flows and feeder pipelines and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, just as a follow-up on that, you know, really what we've tried to, in both organizations, is optimize the existing asset base. So obviously we're not going to, you know, in a lot of cases have to put out new capital in terms of optimizing that. But, you know, we've also, you know, you've seen us over the last 3 or 4 years in both companies, more and more of the feeder pipelines tying in the, you know, water and oil via pipe versus truck. That's going to continue. We're trying to help our customers out with their ESG, and if we can take trucks off the road, there's obviously an environmental and safety impact. We're going to continue to do that. And then on the environmental side, you know, there are some great opportunities. Some of them are going to be ESG related. Some of them are going to be our base business that is non-energy. So, you know, we'll balance that with what's our best rate of return. And the great news is that Terravita has a great hopper full of opportunities. We have a great hopper. But I think 21 is going to be a transition year for our customers whereby, you know, they're trying to figure out what type of industry activity, what kind of new drilling completions, new production is going to come on. And it's probably obviously going to spell over into 2022. So we'll see how that goes. Right now, our focus is to get this thing closed, and then we can optimize our various capital structures.
Okay, thank you. And just another question. I was just going to ask, and you probably can't answer this right now, but if you sort of had an estimate for when the transaction might be closed, or is it just too early to speak to that with this many kind of steps to take at this point?
Yeah, I mean, there's a prescribed process with the Competition Bureau. I mean, obviously, we have to get shareholder approval and other approvals. But, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to do it as quickly as we can. We'll do it. We'll follow all the rules and regulations and make sure that we do it right. But it's premature.
Okay. Thanks for taking my questions. Congrats on the merger. I'll turn it back.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Patrick Kenny from National Bank Financial. Patrick, please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Maybe a question for Rennie. Just, I wanted to follow up on, you know, prioritizing capital towards continuing to grow the long-term contracted midstream side of the business. Now you'll have the opportunity to invest in, you know, potentially higher accretion type industrial service opportunities, including some tuck-in M&A. So, just how do you think about, you know, balancing the lower rate of return but higher quality cash flow midstream opportunities with some of the higher return industrial opportunities out there?
Well, that's a great tough question, so I'm going to pass it over to Alan.
Hey, Pat, it's Alan. Yeah, no, great question. You know, I think, you know, our priority here is, you know, number one is to realize these internal cost savings, and that'll be our primary focus for the next, you know, year and a half to get those realized, because that goes straight to our bottom line. The more discretionary cash flow we do have as we get into 2022 and as we've all seen activity pick up, you know, our focus has been on reoccurring cash flow, like Rennie mentioned. You know, we want to look to partner up with our customers, and we want to make their processes more efficient by partnering up with our infrastructure. And if we can do that, you know, via contract. We can take trucks off the road, and obviously, as Rennie mentioned, the ESG angle is quite significant in terms of savings on both sides. So I think that'll be our focus longer term into 2022. And, you know, on the environmental side, I think the other piece we would add is that SRP program that continues to be executed throughout the province. That's going to generate a lot of value for the facilities as we clean up a lot of these old messes, and they want to fund that via the SRP.
And it's John here, just to add to this. I mean, as Rennie and Alan have outlined, the focus will be on closing the transaction, getting the costs out, and then maximizing the balance sheet and paying down debt. But what you've alluded to here is the absolute potential in the future for the merged business. It's the pipeline of all the growth activities that both companies have, and then there's an enviable thing to go through and pick which one adds the best value to shareholders and aligns with the strategy. That's the future, if I could call it, synergies that the business can attack. So it's a great challenge to have, and I think it's probably way too early to pick which one you're going to do now. Because we, as Rennie alluded to, we've got to, you know, work through the regulatory authorities, get shareholder approvals, competition stuff. So there's a little bit of work to do.
Right. Yeah. No, I appreciate this is looking out a ways, but, you know, maybe along those same lines. And sorry, Chad, for putting you on the spot here, but, you know, with the pro forma EBITDA moving up in line with the investment grade peers out there, and leverage set to come down, you know, as you say, below 2.5 times in a couple of years. Is there a longer-term view as you continue to grow the company to achieve an investment-grade credit rating at some point to help accelerate the growth opportunities and improve the access to capital?
Thanks, Pat. Yeah, absolutely. That's the longer-term plan. You know, out of the gate, you know, as Rennie and everyone's mentioned, our focus will be to pay down that debt. You know, it is likely going to take a couple of years until we reach our long-term target. But, you know, once we, show everyone that we can do that, realize those synergies, put ourselves, lower our debt so that we are in that ratio, I think that's achievable.
Okay, that's great. I'll leave it there, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Pat.
Your next question comes from Aaron McNeil from TD Securities. Aaron, please go ahead.
Hey, morning all. Ring, I know it's probably a couple of years out and very early, but do you see yourself as a logical consolidator of the remainder of the oil field service sector, including service lines you're not currently in? Or will your focus continue to be on organically growing the midstream business?
Yeah, no, I think, Aaron, we want to stay a very, very focused combined company. And I think that's been the mistake in the past where people try to be everything to everybody. This is extreme focus in terms of we love all the business units that we're in right now on both sides. Expanding into other areas, you know, I think obviously if it's something that creates a huge synergy, you know, with what we've existing, never say never, but this is a very focused team that wants to make sure that we optimize everything we have today.
Understood. That was all for me. I'll turn it over. Thanks.
All right.
Your next question comes from John Gibson from BMO Capital. John, please go ahead.
Morning, guys, and congrats on the deal. I just had one. I'm just wondering if you see this merger favorably impacting your ability to win some well abandonment work in the back half of 2021. And could you maybe talk about your combined market share for that work?
Well, that, you know, the environmental / industrial, two great organizations coming together after close. But you got to remember that business is a very, very fragmented business. There are literally, you know, 500 competitors that can obviously do some of that reclamation remediation work. So, you know, we definitely probably have more technical teams, and that's where we shine on both sides, that some of the tougher remediation projects, decommissioning projects, that's where we kind of align ourselves in. But, there are many, many competitors out there that do that. So, you know, we feel optimistic and feel pretty good about our ability to attract a lot of that business, but it'll be, again, more of the technical, tougher projects that we'll get. And that's, at the end of the day, that's where we can add the most value.
Okay, great. Appreciate the response, and congrats again.
Thanks, John.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, should you have a question, please press star followed by one. Okay, it appears there are no further questions at this time. Please proceed.
I think after all those great questions, I think we're going to wrap up this conference call. So thanks, everyone, this morning for your time.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call for today. We thank you for participating and ask that you please disconnect your lines.